Hey, this is Russell Wilson.
This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to
Rob Motti.
I am Rob Motti. Welcome to the AP Pro Football Podcast, and welcome to June. We are now under 100 days until the first game of the NFL season, the Lions and a Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. Plenty to discuss from the spring owners meetings last week in Minneapolis. First, our guest this week is free agent offensive lineman Chris Hubbard, who spent the past five seasons in Cleveland. Stay tuned to hear Chris discuss his thoughts on Deshaun Watson's first season with the Browns, why he's optimistic about Cleveland's chances this year, and his mental wellness journey. Last week, the NFL owners, while they took a step toward eliminating kickoffs by enhancing the touchback rule for a one-year trial, and the emphasis is on player safety, the receiving team will now get the ball at its own 25 with a fair catch of a kickoff anywhere behind the 25-yard line. Now, special teams coaches hate it. Plenty of prominent head coaches spoke out against it, including Andy Reid, who, if you know Andy, and I cover, and everybody knows Andy Reid, legendary future Hall of Fame head coach. I covered his entire career in Philly. He never says anything controversial. So when he says, where does it stop? You start taking pieces and you know, we'll see how this goes, but you don't want to take too many pieces away or you're going to be playing flag football. That's what Andy Reid said. You know, it rankled his feathers and John Harbaugh as well, Dan Campbell, other coaches. But the league says it'll cut down on concussions. We'll see. It's a one-year trial. But interestingly, one day before owners passed the new kickoff rule, they voted to allow flexible scheduling for Thursday night games on Amazon Prime Video for weeks 13 to 17 only, and it requires a 28-day notice given to the teams involved. And the motive here is obviously to make sure viewers have a more interesting game on Thursday night. So even when the league does things to help player safety, kickoff rule, it still can't shake the perception that it doesn't care what players and coaches think, that ultimately it's all about the bottom line, making money. Chris Hubbard has played nine seasons in the NFL, his first four with the Steelers, last five with Cleveland. He started 49 games on the offensive line, currently a free agent. Chris has overcome a ton of adversity in his career. Always good to catch up with Chris.
Well, Chris, welcome, man. Always great to talk to you and good to see you again. You're in a different position now in the NFL, in free agency, looking for another opportunity, a new team. How are you approaching that?
Oh, man, literally, I am working my butt off right now. You know, I'm literally taking my time, making the right choice on, you know, what fits Christopher Hubbard, man. And I've just been taking that time and just also doing this time and just enjoying family time as well. You know, I don't really get to embrace the family time because so much of going back and forth to, you know, wherever I'm playing or wherever I'm staying in that time. But I really am taking the time out to see what fits, working on my health, working on my mind, working on all those things, you know, that deals with when it comes to working hard on the field, man. I really am taking time and doing my part is taking care of my body.
How are you from a physical standpoint, health-wise? I know you've had over the past few years, we're limited by some of the injuries. Right now, are you, if you were to sign with somebody, ready to go in the OTAs or step in whenever is needed?
I'm ready, man. I'm ready to go. Feel really good. Feel very healthy. And like we've been working out. I've been working out here with my trainer, Reza, you know, here at Adapt Athlete here, man, in Atlanta. And we've been grinding, working on every aspect of the body, man, and just making sure that I'm at tip-top shape, man, you know. And like I said before, like I am ready for when that call comes, man, with a OTAs, training camp. If it's the middle of the season, I'm ready, man. You know, like I said, I'm just taking my time to, because I know I am a, you know, veteran O lineman. I've been here, you know, for a long period of time. So I'm just staying ready, bro. Staying ready.
What was last season like for you with the Cleveland Browns? It was a different kind of year for the team, right? They start off with Jacoby Brissett waiting for Deshaun Watson to step in, and obviously they don't get to where they wanted to be. Finished 7-10, didn't make the playoffs. A lot of high expectations for him, but it was difficult as he only came back and played the final handful of games. What was that whole year like?
Oh, man, you know, the whole part of embracing, you know, when we signed Deshaun and we had Jacoby, we had a lot of new faces in the locker room, man, and just building the whole team up. I really feel like, you know, from my standpoint, we were it was a brotherhood, man. And in there, we embraced the fact that we had Jacoby. We had to step in. Jacoby had to step up and play, and he did. And we had other guys to come in. We have Chubb, you know, we have our receivers, Amari Cooper, a lot of those guys, man, that stepped up and stepped in and helped Jacoby in the process before Deshaun was able to return. The process was very, very amazing to see because, you know, we started off training camp. You know, we didn't know what was going to happen during that part because we had Deshaun the whole time in OTAs getting prepared to start and getting prepared to go. And, you know, here comes everything else unfolding. You know, then we have Jacoby coming in and taking over as starter. I mean, that's like any season. If I'm just hypothetically saying, like, even if Deshaun was injured or something beforehand, it would have happened. Jacoby would have been our starter quarterback, you know. So Jacoby stepped in, did an amazing job, and he got in there and came in daily and just an all-around pro, man. I think the whole process was amazing to see, amazing to watch because, you know, after everything has transpired, man, you know, he literally, you know, we didn't fall off. You know, although the outcome was not what we wanted, but we did things day in and day out to showcase that, man, we're steadily climbing the ladder, getting better 1% each day. You know what I mean? So it wasn't the outcome that we wanted, but it was a learning experience.
What did you see from Deshaun, not the football player, but the man? Obviously he had to be humbled by what he went through. It had to be a difficult experience for everyone involved because you don't know what really transpired and all of that. Did you see a guy who was accountable, who was a good teammate? What did you see out of him who maybe showed some growth as a man?
Yeah, man, I saw a guy that was hungry, that was willing and able to do everything possible. Off the field, man, he did a lot of great things, man. And you know, just the coaching part of it, just taking everything in, you know, coaching up players here and there and making sure that everybody's on the same page. I was very impressed on how he took everything, man. Very impressed. Because I know it's not easy with you being in the media, you know, you hearing things left and right. And he approached it as a pro. He approached it as a person that didn't seem like, you know, what the media portrayed, like he didn't show in it, man. He didn't show it at all. So I was very, 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 very amazed at how he handled everything. And Deshaun off the, as far as like the guy that's off the field, very humble, very nice, very, 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 very outspoken person, man. And I've had plenty of conversations with him when it came to, you know, the night before the game or before the game that we had conversation. All around great dude, man.
What do you think of the Cleveland Browns going into this season? You spent your entire career, Chris, right, in the AFC North from the Steelers to Cleveland. You know that division inside and out. And Pittsburgh settled in with Kenny Pickett last year, actually had a winning year. We know what the Bengals are with Joe Burrow, the team to beat. What do you think the chances are for Cleveland?
I think the chances are pretty high, man. The way that they attacked this offseason was very impressive. I saw Andrew Berry, man, like really pull out the big guns, man, if I could say that. You know what I mean? He really did an amazing job of bringing in guys that fit Cleveland, man. And I look at that and it's just amazing to see. And even with the draft, as far as free agency, when free agency hit, he did an amazing job. Even when the draft hit, I feel like they attacked things that they needed to help them succeed in the right way. And I really do feel like, man, they have a really good chance of you know, going to the next level, man, and making that jump. And, you know, being there in that atmosphere, like you see the changes, you see the thing, you see the whole shift coming, you know, because guys are inspired, guys are hungry, guys want to win every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday, that those lights come on, man, when it's time to put those shoulder pads. But I really do feel like it's a shift in Cleveland, man. It really is.
What do you feel that you can bring at this stage of your career, Chris? What can you bring to a team as you have conversations and meetings and look for that next opportunity? You got that veteran leadership type ability. As far as playing the versatility on the offensive line, too, do you feel comfortable playing anywhere there?
Oh, yeah. I feel comfortable playing any position. I mean, wherever you want me to go, wherever I'm needed, you know what I mean? I'm willing to be able to be of service, man, and make sure that I'm doing my job of getting better and taking and studying myself and making sure that I'm doing the things that I need day in and day out, man. You know, a team who's able to get me, you know, there's going to get a guy that's very hungry. I haven't, you know, necessarily played all out in these past 2 years, but they're going to get a guy that's very hungry, very, very willing, very knowledgeable, and knows the game at a high level and plays. I play at a high level. I don't want to boast myself, but I love this game with everything in me. And they're going to get a guy with passion. I'm going to bring passion. I'm going to push my players. I'm going to push the guys around me because I want to win. I want to win a Super Bowl. You know, but before it's all said and done, Chris Hubbard and whatever team I want us to win a Super Bowl, man. And at the end of the day, they're going to get a lot of fire out of me. They're going to get everything, every ounce of blood, sweat, and tears out of me. I promise you that. So whoever it is, hey, they're going to be in luck, man.
I feel like a really important aspect of something that a guy like you would bring to the table is that leadership ability, maybe mentorship ability, too, for some of the younger players on an offensive line or in that locker room. In general, how much do you take pride in that or want to help other guys grow, and then how to help them just be NFL players and understand the transition from college to being a professional?
It's very important, man, because, you know, I was once in their shoes, man. And I think about the time when I came in the league, you know, I had, you know, older guys. Like Marquise Pouncey, Ramon Foster, Marcus Gilbert, man, I had David DeCastro. You know, I had those guys that's been together that have seen a lot of game, played together, and just watching them daily on what it is to be a pro has gotten me to where I am today. Like, if I didn't have that group of guys, man, and just that brotherhood, that fellowship with those guys, man, I don't think Chris Hubbard would be who I am today, man. And I think it's so important for the younger guys to have that because, you know, you're stepping into a league where you don't know, like college is totally different. NFL is totally different. The game is completely different. Everybody's amazing. Everybody's great because they're there for a purpose. They're there for a reason. If they wasn't there for a reason, they wouldn't be in that locker room. So being around the guys and bringing them along and showing them the ropes, it's just a service of wanting them to be better, wanting them to take that next level, to take that next step, I should say, of being a pro. And it takes work. It takes repetition, and it's not going to be easy. Sometimes it's things that you don't want to do, but you have to do to be, to take that jump and leap. So you know, I did it last year, man, with a couple of the guys that was on the O-line, like Jedrick and James Hudson, man. I did it with those guys, man, just helping them out. And they had a great season last year, man. So I really look at being a mentor a great thing. It really is.
How are you prepared for the next step of your career, man, whether it's playing a few more seasons and then transitioning out of the NFL into everything else that you may do afterwards? I know you've got you do a ton of work in the community and you have your Overcoming Together Foundation. And how have you prepared yourself and where do you feel you are right now as far as ready if that were the next step?
I'm prepared, man. I think doing interviews and wanting to be still a part of the game and just doing things like with, who knows, NFL Network, man, broadcasting, man. I think that would be my calling, man. I think I would be really good at doing so. Even with giving back to my community, just doing things to do more outreach, man, with touching people. And telling my story, man. Telling my testimony, man, is part of me because I want to let the next person know, man. Hey, like I have something too that you may be dealing with. We might be dealing with the same thing. We might have dealt with the same thing, but hey, this is how I got past this. This is how we can work together. And I just want to give back, man. I just always want to give back. And Chris Hubbard is going to do that. You know, I really am. And as far as taking that next step, whether I feel like it might be broadcasting, and I'm also doing other things. So we'll see. We'll see.
Tell me a little bit about how you got started with your mental health journey and what you hope other guys can learn from you.
Man, I started back in high school, man. A good friend of mine, you know, ended his life. And, I saw the struggles that he was dealing with. And to me, it was very saddening because, you know, we always talk about in the community, especially the African-American community, of it's going to be okay. Like, don't worry about it. Brush it off. You know, we don't need anybody to talk to. But there are things, man, that we need to be able to be successful and to get past mental health, to not get past mental health, but to deal with mental health and to bring it to the forefront. It really, that relationship with me and him really, really got me to where I am. But also too, when I was married, you know, I dealt with a lot of mental health with family, with my new career, with me signing a new deal. Like, I didn't know how to really manage all those things at once. And I felt like I did a terrible job. And it really had me in my head, man. It really had me depressed. I had anxiety, man. I felt like I couldn't eat. And just sitting in a dark room, just contemplating about life, man, and just seeing where I was. And I knew I needed the help, you know? So, that's when I took the initiative to get help. And once I saw myself progress and where I was and how I was doing counseling, it led me to know, man, mental health is real. You know what I mean? Like, mental health is really real. You know, I had an understanding on what it was, on how it can really, you know, really mess with you mentally, physically, and emotionally, because you can tear the people down that's around you. You know what I mean? So I got an understanding, man, and when it came to me to about sharing my story, I was like, man, I wonder how many other people are dealing with the same things day in and day out. And to be able to be a human also playing NFL, like, we don't talk about that in the locker room. So it has been my job. I feel like it's been my job to be able to tell the people on what I've been through, how I've seen it happen, and how you can change, and how you can use different outlooks to be able to get better and to be able to go talk to somebody, to have therapy, to have outdoor workout, to do things that can help you literally help the stigma. So mental health has played a big part, man, in my life. And to this day, man, I will continue to let people know how important it is for them and how they can really change their ways and how they look at mental health. You know, it can really help out in the long run, man, if you just be able to take a step back, look at yourself, and be able to say, like, hey, what am I doing? How can I get better? And who can help me out? So, man, mental health is why I'm here. I really feel like why I'm here, man, and why I'm telling my story.
You got it, my friend. All right, man.
Yes, sir, man. Good to talk to you, man, again.
Time for some final thoughts. Talked about the kickoff rule change in Thursday's flex scheduling at the top. The NFL got this one right by adding the third quarterback rule so teams can avoid a situation where both QBs are injured and they have to turn to a running back or whatever they have to do to play and finish out a game. Of course, teams will have to carry that third quarterback on the 53-man roster to make him eligible on game day. Won't count against the active roster, but he can't be a practice squad quarterback who dresses on game day. It'll be interesting to see how many teams do that because more and more clubs have put that third quarterback on their practice squad. So now it's got to be a guy who is on the 53-man taking up what many teams and many coaches consider a valuable 53-man roster spot, but still at least the elements are in play to avoid that situation and a third quarterback can be available. That's it for this week. Thank you to Chris Hubbard. Thank you for listening. Please be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your pods. Also, check out my colleague Ralph Russo and his AP Top 25 College Football Podcast. Until next week, I'm Rob Motti reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.